Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Josh Hicks joins us, former Chief of Staff to Governor Gibbons, now with McDonald Carano, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Josh Hicks. He's a partner with McDonald Carano. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Happy to be here.
So just share with me your thoughts. I mean, you're mostly at home right now, working out of the house. Your wife works in an emergency room. Tell us what life is like for the Hicks family.
Well, it's probably like life is like for a lot of people right now. Disruptive, but something we've been working on dealing with. Working at home, like you said, my wife works in the emergency room, and you know, all the people who've been doing that are just really unbelievably brave to be in there doing those kind of things, working with those kind of patients and exposing themselves to that. We have two kids who finished out the school year with homeschooling and remote learning. So it's just been an odd year, really, I think, for everybody. But, you know, we're dealing with it. Our firm's starting to the process of phasing back in to people going back into the office. So we're hopeful that the summer of 2020 kind of gets back to some semblance of normalcy, and then that we have a normal school year and round out the end of the year somewhat like we thought 2020 was going to go in the first place.
The school superintendent for the state was on the program a week or so ago, and she was talking about social distancing on school buses and classrooms. And in thinking about it after our conversation, I'm like, well, you know, we don't have that many bus drivers to begin with. We are overcrowded in our schools across the state. How the heck is that going to work?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I know there's a lot of plans going on. We've all heard some of the things they're thinking about doing, half days on either end or alternating days for kids to try to keep some separation there. You know, we've got a lot of really good people in those positions who are figuring that out. So hopefully it becomes less of a concern, you know, as time goes on. But I'm sure we'll figure something out. I think one thing we did learn is that the remote learning is very challenging. I think that was hard for students. I think it was hard for teachers.
Hard for parents.
Hard for parents. So, you know, those kind of things are going to get worked on. At least we have some time over the summer to try to figure those kind of things out.
You know, and it's interesting because I think that parents have a whole new respect for teachers that may have slipped over the years, but for what they're dealing with when your kids are home every day.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I think a lot of parents, you know, like me, have started relearning how to do math, algebra, those kind of things. But it is a lot of respect for teachers who do that all day long. And, you know, and a lot of respect to the parents who now have to do that, who've done that as well.
One of the other things, and I'll get off the school thing in just a moment here, but you know, for a lot of years now, we've seen the federal government put a lot of money into rural Nevada to try to expand high-speed internet access. And you know, there are some people that look at it and go, well, why, you know, is the government spending this kind of money? But then when you look at a situation where we may have to have more distance learning because of COVID, you know, are those kids now in poor areas across the state and in rural areas across the state going to be disadvantaged going forward because of the lack of internet access and or the lack of computers at home?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not a problem. It's a problem throughout the state. I mean, in some of the more urban areas, we've seen huge problems with the actually having the technology, you know, the pads, the Surface books, those kind of things that the students need to study. And then in the rural areas, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's been an issue for a long time. We've had a rural broadband task force in this state that has kind of come and gone in terms of how active it's been. This is probably a great time to start thinking about redoing some of that task force and getting them thinking again about how to increase connectivity in those rural areas, because you're absolutely right. Those are, you know, a rural area is so dependent on the internet for not only school but news, telemedicine, as that becomes more and more useful. And if social distancing goes on, it's almost a necessity. So those are kind of things we have to look at.
And we're going to be dealing with telemedicine in more detail in the coming weeks here on the program. But I've certainly seen examples in my own house of the efficiency of social medicine, or telemedicine rather, social medicine, speeding up the process. Normally you go to a doctor's office, they'll give you the appointment or tell you it's going to be X amount of hours, they'll take your cell phone number, you go back to your office, your home, whatever, you get a call, then you show up at the doctor's office, it's another hour sitting there waiting to go in. It's very inefficient, better than it was, but very inefficient. Now you get a phone call from the nurse saying, you know, what are the meds you're taking, et cetera, et cetera. Then you get a call from the doctor, and boy, that it's 20 minutes. It's not 3 hours. So do you think that we're going to see efficiencies not only in the medical world, but in so many other worlds moving along here?
I do.
Quicker than we were before.
Absolutely, I do. I think that, you know, the situation's been somewhat forced upon all of us. We've had no choice but to go to video conferencing and things like that. And I think a lot of us, and I'm in that camp too, weren't really thinking that was a great way to go about things before the coronavirus hit. And I think many of us have discovered it actually works quite well. Many meetings that could have, you know, taken place that required a plane flight somewhere can now be done just as effectively over video conferencing. The telemedicine is a great example of saving time. So I think you might see, you know, a lot less need for travel in some of those areas and people staying home or at their office and doing these kind of things. And I think that's one of the real positives that's come out of this, is just more proficiency with technology and the ability to do things in a more time efficient manner.
Okay, so that's the positive side of it. For a state like Nevada that depends on, you know, for a percentage of its income from, you know, major conferences showing up in the state and conventions, good thing, bad thing. I mean, we're about to see the state Republican Party have a statewide convention that will be online.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one thing to say, you know, a business person is going to not have to make a trip somewhere and they can do it over video conference. But there's some things that are just the lifeblood of this state and that haven't occur in person anyways. And conventions are a perfect example. So we definitely need those to come back. We need people to come back into the state. As you know, we're a hospitality driven state. We've seen some moves in the past years to diversify our economy a bit more and become less dependent on tourism and hospitality, but we haven't gotten there yet. We've kind of started down that road, and that's a big reason why we have the unemployment we have, is because it's all tied to that. So, you know, some of those things, I don't think you can replicate them with the video conferencing. And, you know, cities like Vegas are built to host conventions. They're built to have people come in there and enjoy themselves. And I think, you know, we've already seen people starting to come back into that. So I think we all have to have high hopes that comes back quickly.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I you know, maybe I'm just an optimist by nature, but I think that's going to come back way quicker than people are anticipating. I think a lot of the numbers that are coming out are based on what happened yesterday and what's happening today, rather than the creativity, like you saw with Derek Stevens offering, you know, 1,000 flights to Las Vegas, not round trip, just one way. Boom, gone within an hour. offering another 1,000 flights, boom, gone within an hour. People still had to buy a return ticket. They still had to get a hotel room. So I think things will come back. But in terms of diversification, you know, that's a 30-year plus plan. I remember talking to a redevelopment officer of the city of Reno 40 years ago. I was 12 at the time. And saying to him, how long does diversification take? He said, 30 years. So the idea of, he was talking redevelopment, not diversification, but I mean, you know, similar. For Las Vegas to have the kind of diversification we've seen in Northern Nevada, you would have to see four Teslas and all of the rest that goes along with that, which means that whether you had an airport out there or not, you're talking Ivanpah.
Yeah, you have to have a very serious commitment to it that lasts for a very long time. And I think, and hopefully that we are starting to think about that a little bit more. I recall back in, when I was in the governor's office 10 plus years ago, and we started going through the Great Recession, you'd hear people say, Nevada's recession-proof. And that turned out to be absolutely not the case back then in the recession. And it's 100% turned out to be not the case in the current coronavirus world, where we've just seen everything just come to a grinding halt. 99.6%, I think it was, gaming revenues down for April.
That was an optimistic number.
That was an optimistic number. So, you know, I think we can safely put to bed that myth that Nevada is somehow recession-proof, and hopefully take the lesson from the Great Recession and from this current the current issues we're facing, that, you know, the boom or bust economy is highly, you know, it creates a lot of risk, and it creates a lot of risk for the people of the state, and it's hopefully something we can start moving away from and diversifying ourselves a little bit more.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Josh Hicks after this timeout.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Josh Hicks. He's a partner with McDonald Carano. So you were chief of staff in the governor's office under Governor Jim Gibbons. You've dealt with this kind of crisis, not in exactly the same way, but you dealt with the Great Recession. What lessons can you share, learned back then, that would benefit this governor and his staff?
Yeah, well, you know, when we went through the Great Recession back then, that was, it was, in some ways it was different, in some ways it was the same. It was a more drawn out economic recession that was based on bigger picture things than an instant moment like the coronavirus hitting the state. But there were a lot of things that were similar. We started seeing the impacts of the Great Recession at the end, right around the middle of 2007. And the legislature was in session then. Some cuts were made at the end of the 2007 session. And I think everyone just kind of held their breath and hoped that that was going to be about as bad as it got. And that turned out to not be the case. It was a kind of a more slow rollout, but we had two special sessions in 2008, as well as a really difficult session in 2009. And all told, it was around $2 billion of a $6 billion budget that just disappeared. About a third of the budget. And, you know, we're seeing now, we have a bigger budget now. We have about a $9 billion budget, and we're so far around $1 billion short, and we're probably going to be more short than that. So, you know, it's going to be a comparable kind of situation, I think, at the end of the day. This one's hitting faster than the other one did, but... You know, I remember spending a lot of nights with the budget office and guys like Andrew Klinger, who were invaluable through that process, and trying to figure out what we were going to do. You don't want to raise taxes. You know, the governor I worked for was strongly anti-tax in the first place, but you've also got businesses that are struggling and having a hard time, so you're looking for other ways. And, you know, you start with some of the easier things, the budget reserves that are just built into every state budget, some of the spending, the one-shot kind of appropriations that you can maybe put off to the next biennium. And we've seen that today too, the same kind of thing. The rainy day fund typically goes pretty fast, and you know, whenever you're sitting there looking at the rainy day fund, you think it's got a lot of money in it, it's gone in the blink of an eye. It was gone in the blink of an eye in 2008, and same thing in 2020. You know, back then I think it was around $330 million in it. Today it was about $400 million, but it goes really fast. And we spent a lot of time digging through every single line item in the budget we could think of to make transfers to the general fund, and did that, and still came up short for the 2009 session, which is then when the budget was balanced with sales tax increases and modified business tax increases. And part of the deal was they had the sunset put on them, which still resonates today because the lawsuit today is about the cancellation of those sunsets.
Right.
So the legacy kind of continues. But the one thing I would say that I learned through that process is there is no easy or magic trick. There's just hard decisions that have to be made. And when the budget is primarily education, health and human services, and public safety, there's no good places to go. The state did a couple other things back then that you know you may see this time. Furloughs for employees, that does save some money. The state in 2008 implemented a penalty and interest amnesty program for taxes, for delinquent taxpayers, which really helped both the state revenues get up there and people who'd fallen behind on their taxes because of the recession could come in and pay their back taxes, no questions asked, and get all their penalties and interest waived. So we did those kind of things and kind of limped through it. 2009 was just a terribly difficult session. I don't think anyone who was part of that session wants to go through something like that again because there were no good answers. And that's really, I'd say, you know, that's the lesson learned. There's no good answers. There's nothing easy. But I would say if I could go back and think about doing things over again, cutting spending as early as you can is a much better idea than doing it on the back end. We have a biennial year here, and we're just about to start our second year of the biennium. And the longer you put off decisions, the less time you have to make up those cuts. So it becomes really difficult to do. So those are things you got to look at. And I'm sure the governor's office is busy looking at all those things right now. You know, we're only a couple months into this, but I'm sure they're we're already hearing about a special session, so you're probably going to see some things like that.
And potentially multiple special sessions.
Correct.
State Senator Ben Kiekhefer was on the program, member of your law firm, by the way, I should mention. And he was saying that he wanted to see a special session, if possible, in June, exactly because of the kind of things that you're saying, that the sooner you get into this, it's not going to be easy, but the better it will be to do that. And yet the governor's office did not respond. What do you think the holdup is here?
I would suspect it's probably a combination of evaluating what kind of actions they can take without a special session, what kind of actions they might need a special session for. I suspect there's some thinking that whether there might be some federal money coming in. You know, in 2008 and 2009, that was one thing that helped the state budget. We had the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money that came into the state. Now, that had a lot of strings attached to it. It couldn't just be used for general fund purposes, but it still helped offset some of the cuts. And, you know, we've seen in D.C. the HEROES Act has, I think, $500 billion for state and local governments. And, you know, whether that passes or not is an open question. It doesn't seem likely that it'll pass the Senate, at least in its current form. But I would imagine that the current administration, the governor's office, is evaluating and working with the delegation on whether some of that might pass, because that could certainly alleviate the need for some of the cuts if that federal money comes in, and comes in relatively soon.
And in an election year, I mean, the confluence of things going on, plus the influence of lobbyists in Washington, D.C. I mean, this has got to be, you know, when you're talking multi-trillion dollar bills passing, this has got to be lobbyist heaven for all the things that we'll find out 20 years from now that got snuck in as part of this. But it seems that the Republican leadership in the Senate and the president is not in a rush to bail out the states, and there's a lot of concern that some of the things that have been thrown into that latest version of the act will benefit things that really have nothing to do with coronavirus, but, you know, trying to handle things that states have negotiated with their unions over the years that are now in huge debt. So, you know, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
No, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, any appropriations bill becomes a Christmas tree at some point, and I think that bill's no different, but you might see bits and pieces of it come off and go to different places here and there. I wouldn't be totally surprised if we saw something more pared down, more like the Recovery and Reinvestment Act that we saw before. But it still helps the states, but probably not to the level that it did, you know, that it's contemplated, at least in the act right now.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, even with things like Medicaid funding that the state was gotten, unemployment monies that the state got were really beneficial under the Sandoval administration. They actually managed to pay those off and then have money for the reserve. Okay, let's take another break. We'll come back. You know, such light topics today. Yeah. We'll be back with more after this time out.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Josh Hicks, former chief of staff to Governor Gibbons. He's a partner with McDonald Corano. Looks to me, from looking at the numbers, that the university systems across the state, both the main universities and the community colleges, are going to take a heck of a hit, not only from what obvious cuts are going to have to come from the state, but, for example, with UNR and UNLV, a lot of money comes from international students, out-of-state students. My thought is that that's going to go away, and you're going to have to see some massive cuts. And that really hasn't been discussed at this point. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, higher ed is always a spot that gets looked at, and you know, that happened in 2009 as well, where, you know, they were looked at to increase tuition to make up a lot of their cuts, and they've increased tuition since then. But those are the kind of things, you know, where you have to look. And I know, you know, the Board of Regents.
Do you think that increase in tuition is even in the cards today?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I know it was discussed before, and I know, you know, it's been increased since then. I'm not sure what the Board of Regents is going to do. They've got a lot of hard expenses, just like a lot of government agencies do, but they've got a lot of hard expenses that they've got to cover. And, you know, if they don't have students going back this fall, if they see reduced tuition, they're going to be extremely hard hit, you know, more so than other government agencies. You know, a lot of government agencies, it's almost like the harder things get, the more people use them.
Right.
But higher ed's a little bit different. You know, it's, you want things to be going well and the economy to be going well for our colleges and higher ed system to be doing well. So that's going to be a question you'll have to ask someone from higher ed.
Yes, and we are in the process of bringing people on with that. Well, we are out of time, sir. I thank you so much for coming in and talking about all this, and your experience certainly gives us a pathway towards what's coming for the future, and it's not going to be pretty. But in the meantime, thank you for being here. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks
for having me. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.